you'll remember that. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network. Stay tuned for Mark's show coming up next, and then Bob Kincaid after that. You listen to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network, and Billy Shears, music director. Thank you, Billy, for all the great tunes. And don't forget, you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.
This is the Quality News Network. South Korean officials say the Taliban has agreed to release the 19 hostages abducted 6 weeks ago in Afghanistan. The conditions of the release: the withdrawal of South Korean troops and the discontinuation of missionary activities. After months of confrontation with the secular establishment, Turkey has elected a devout Muslim as president. The election of Abdullah Gül is seen as a victory for the Islamic-rooted government and comes a day after the military, which has thrown out four governments since 1960, issued a warning about the threat of secularism. In Afghanistan, the number of militant attacks are at their highest since the U.S.-led invasion began 5 years ago. In the past 48 hours, fighting between Taliban and NATO forces has resulted in the death of 8 soldiers, 6 of them from Western nations. 29 insurgents were also killed. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said a power vacuum is imminent in Iraq and that his country was ready to fill it. Ahmadinejad made the statement at a press conference where he also said, quote, "The political power of the occupiers is collapsing rapidly," adding, "Iran would fill the gap with help from regional friends like Saudi Arabia." Heavy gunfire between Iraqi security forces and insurgents has forced the evacuation of hundreds of thousands of worshippers at a Shia festival in Karbala. At least 25 have been killed in violence near two of Shiite Islam's holiest shrines during the celebration to mark the birth of a 9th century imam. The UN says this year's poppy harvest in Afghanistan is the largest in history. More than 90% of the heroin in the world comes from Afghanistan. 33 Sunni fighters were killed by U.S. and Iraqi troops in a pre-dawn raid aimed at reopening an irrigation canal seized by insurgents. The assault captured weapons and explosives and reopened the spillway after militants shoveled dirt into the canal, blocking the flow of water to farmland. In Baghdad, a CBS News translator kidnapped a week ago has been found murdered. 152 members of the media have been killed in the Iraq War. In Greece, the death toll mounts in 89 fires, many of which have been sparked by arsonists. At least 63 people have been burned to death in the last 2 days. Firefighters throughout Europe have rushed to Greece to battle the fires and rescue victims. In Louisiana, a coalition of business and civic agencies have called for a nationwide march tomorrow to protest the lack of progress in the rebuilding of New Orleans 2 years after the devastating hurricane named Katrina. This is QNN.
Tired of all the griping? Got to get away from the propaganda of the left and the right? Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific right here on the Quality News Network for America Back on Track with me, your correspondent, Tony Seaton. We don't wallow in the dialectic between the donkeys and the elephants. America Back on Track rises above the fray, representing the people's right, the people's need to know. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network puts the news in context, delivers scintillating interviews and commentary, all part of a conversation with America. America Back on Track is for information-hungry Americans who know how vital it is to the health of the country that the citizens know the facts. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML 1410 AM in the Monterey area and streaming live online at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
The U.S. rates of obesity continue to rise. 31 states last year showed an increase. No state demonstrated a decrease. Topping the list of the significantly overweight is Mississippi, followed by West Virginia and Alabama. Colorado is the state with the fewest number of obese citizens. Scientists say ancient bacteria seem to be capable of thriving in frozen conditions for nearly 500,000 years. Their findings lend credence to the belief that the icy permafrost on Mars may sustain life. The Vatican has launched a special airline service devoted to Catholics on pilgrimage. Yesterday, the inaugural flight took passengers from Rome to Francis Shrine of Lourdes. The airline is expected to serve at least 150,000 clients annually. Ohio is suing AIG and four other insurance companies, accusing them of price fixing, conspiracy, and other anti-competitive activities against Ohio businesses. Dubai World announced it will pay $5 billion to purchase a 9.5% share of casino MGM Mirage and half of City Center Hotels. Dubai's investment includes a portion of the multi-billion-dollar Las Vegas City Center project, scheduled to open in 2009. Light sweet crude is trading at $71.71 a barrel. Gold is trading at $675 an ounce. And on Wall Street, Dow Jones is down 106 points. The Nasdaq is down 30 points. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. It's the week in review, and a heck of a week it's already been. I'll tell you, Washington in August is a very dull place. Most people are out of town. The Congress goes, the President goes, and all their hangers-on and lobbyists follow them. And for a while, there's not a lot to talk about, and then, boom, everything happens all at once, just as I'm about to be gone for a week. But so much to talk about. Of course, there's Alberto Gonzalez's resignation, and that's what I was planning to spend most of the time about, along with an amazing article in Newsweek that I have on my blog at RadioInsideScoop.com that shows just how much the Iraq War has harmed us in the fight to stop Osama bin Laden and to get al-Qaeda, and actually quotes Bush and Cheney as saying, in effect, don't go after bin Laden. It's not worth the risk of 800 troops at, you know, the same group that sends 160,000 troops to Iraq. But before I get to any of that, hey, you got to talk about Larry Craig. I mean, this is a guy, there have been rumors that Senator Craig of Idaho has been gay for years, for more than 25 years. In fact, if you look back to my show, I was looking back into June of 2005, more than 2 years ago, on The Inside Scoop. I had Mike Rogers on the air, a blogger that outs gay politicians who are hypocrites, and he talked about Larry Craig then. So this isn't really news to us Washington insiders. But what's interesting is when you look at closeted gay people, particularly those in the deep, deep, deep dark closet, the one where they actually come out and hypocritically oppose equal rights for gay people, oppose things like hate crimes bills for people who beat up and kill gay people, oppose the right of gay people to marry, oppose equality under the law, those are the people that are deepest, darkest in the closet and have to, when they have sex with a man, to do it in the most furtive ways, and tends to be in places like public restrooms and awful things like that. I mean, no self-respecting gay man would get caught there, but a lot of non-self-respecting gay men who are married to women because the Christian right insists that gay people marry women and do so, even though, frankly, it's very harmful to their families, both to the extremely closeted, self-hating gay man and to the woman that he marries. It would be much better, obviously, if he could just marry someone with a man that he loves and then have children and not break up a family. But Larry Craig just shows the typical hypocrisy of the right wing. He's from Idaho, one of the reddest states in the United States, perhaps the reddest state in the United States. Nebraska, Utah, and Idaho, one of the three of them, is the reddest one. It's one of the most conservative places. You have the black helicopter crowd is in Idaho. Remember Helen Chenoweth talked about, oh, the government's going to come and confiscate our guns and make a one-world government. That kind of right-wing conspiracy theory comes from Idaho. And all the way up in the panhandle of Idaho, of course, are a number of neo-Nazi groups that meet there. Now, I don't mean to attack all Idahoans. In fact, some of my family, a wonderful aunt of mine, in fact, comes from Idaho, and she's a terrific, wonderful woman. So I certainly don't mean to attack the entire state. But a large part of that state's mentality is anti-gay, it's anti-Semitic, it's racist, it's some of the worst aspects of America. And so when you run for office there and you happen to be gay, and this doesn't mean I have sympathy for Larry Craig, please, please understand, I have sympathy for other closeted gay men. I don't have sympathy for a closeted gay man who goes and ruins the rights of gay people, and then when he's caught, comes on TV, as he apparently did 40 minutes ago, And instead of saying, hey, you know, I didn't have sex in a public restroom, I didn't mean to have sex in a public restroom, those kinds of things, which, you know, he eventually got to, you know, I didn't mean to proposition the officer, his first words are, I am not gay. As if being gay were the crime, not having sex in a public restroom or propositioning an officer in a public restroom. But I guess to his constituency, being gay is worse than sex in public. In any case, I do hope it's the end of his career. Unfortunately, I don't think it'll change much in Idaho. I think they'll have one right-wing bastard replace him. But these are the kinds of hypocrites that I have said that deserve to be outed. I do know other gay people on the Hill who are not out, who work in Congress, who are not near as bad as Larry Craig was. There were rumors about Craig. Like I said, I Mike Rogers reported on my show 2 years ago, but I didn't have any smoking gun. So anyway, if you want to call and talk about Larry Craig, feel free. That's what this show is all about, 877-4-HEAD-ON. If you want to talk about this Newsweek article on why it is that we have not captured Osama bin Laden, please call about that as well. As I said, that article you can get a link to from my blog at RadioInsideScoop.com, and I will try to read from some of that near the end of the hour if there's time. If not, heck, I'll be back in a week and we can go over it then. But I want to start the broadcast after talking about all of that stuff. You got to talk about Gonzalez, because before he passes from the political scene, we have to recognize who Alberto Gonzalez was and what he symbolized. Because the problems of Gonzalez were far, far more than anything relating to the man. In many ways, Alberto Gonzalez, I think, is like George Bush, a man of no particular morality, but someone who does what he's told. And it wasn't so much Gonzalez, I think, who developed the evil memos that said that it's okay to torture people, or it's okay to do extraordinary rendition, which is sending people to other countries to be tortured. I don't think it was Gonzalez who came up with the idea that we don't need to have trials for people who are captured in the, quote, war on terror, unquote, that we can take American citizens on American soil and hold them indefinitely without trials, without lawyers. I don't think any of this was Gonzalez's idea. It came from Dick Cheney and his chief of staff, his counsel, David Addington. But Gonzalez was always loyal, and he did what he was told. And just as George Bush does what he's told when Cheney and Rove give him orders, Alberto Gonzalez did what he was told when George Bush gave him orders. So in many ways, he's sort of the face of evil, a particular kind of evil. Not so much the mastermind. I don't think Gonzalez, frankly, is smart enough to be the mastermind of anything. But the kind of guy who always did what he was told, and when he was told to lie, he lied, and when he was told to torture, he tortured. Kind of reminds you of the banality of evil, Hannah Arendt's book about the Nazis. This is a guy who just followed orders. So I want to talk about Gonzalez and his legacy, the legacy of torture, the legacy of extraordinary rendition, but even more than that, the legacy of loyalty. A man who always put his loyalty to George W. Bush above the law. A man who had absolutely no feeling for his country or the Constitution or the rule of law or any idea of right and wrong. But a man who decided that he was going to hitch his wagon to a loyal president and follow it wherever it landed. And this is what happens. And Gonzalez is just the last one in a group like this, whether it's Harriet Myers or Mike Brown or anyone else. But it's very interesting because I don't want anyone to think that with the passing of Gonzalez, we are ending this loyalty to president trumping loyalty to country. Again, I think Gonzalez was only the most potent symbol of this attitude. He was not the cause. He was the effect. And I think we can find that as we go through his career. So, you want to call in and talk about Gonzalez? That's okay with me. You want to talk about the article on how we are avoiding capturing bin Laden because of the war in Iraq? By all means. And yes, if you just like to talk about sex scandals and you want to talk about Larry Craig, bring it on. Or anything else, it's the Week in Review, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush Administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. Bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here, nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The, you know, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Somebody's trying.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about really anything you want to talk about. It's the week in review. There are two big stories. One, of course, is finally the resignation of Alberto Gonzalez. But also, if you want to talk about Larry Craig or anything else, feel free to do so. When I think back about the legacy of Attorney General Gonzalez, it's hard to pick. I mean, is it the torture memos? Is that what he'll be most remembered for? The guy that said in America torture is okay, the Geneva Conventions are quaint and obsolete? Maybe it'll be just the fact that this is the guy who proved Kafka right and agreed to hold American citizens in jail indefinitely without charges in express violation of the United States Constitution. Probably the most famous thing that Gonzalez did was try, before he was Attorney General, to persuade a very sick John Ashcroft to break the law about warrantless wiretapping. The incredible testimony of James Comey in that regard. But warrantless wiretapping itself is interesting. A violation of the Fourth Amendment. How many of us are being watched? We may never know, but certainly Gonzalez was behind that too. But in all of this discussion of Gonzalez, and I haven't even gotten to the attorneys, the prosecutors that were fired, the U.S. attorneys fired for political reasons, the contradicting testimony between him and Monica Goodling, saying, I don't recall, some 70 different times, refusing to turn over documents and subpoenas. I mean, the list is just endless. To me, the most interesting thing about all of this, all of it, is that George Bush doesn't think he did anything wrong. A lot of this talk about Gonzalez, and you hear Republicans who are attacking him now. It's amazing. I did a show last night on the American Dream on Gonzalez, and we couldn't find any Republicans to support Gonzalez. But when they're attacking Gonzalez, do they realize that they're attacking George Bush? That Gonzalez was really just a loyal soldier following orders. Fredo, he's like the mafia. He's not the mafia boss. He's the hitman. He says, yes, a boss, and he goes out and he kills people. It's the boss that's the problem. Let us not forget that James Comey testified he thought that George Bush himself sent his attorney, Gonzalez, to the bedside of the then Attorney General, John Ashcroft, to barge into a hotel room where everyone was barred, to force him to overturn, to sign an order that Ashcroft and number two Comey and number three Ted Olson had all said was blatantly illegal, to do so despite the fact that Comey was the acting attorney general, to do so despite the fact that Ashcroft was, in the words of FBI Director Robert Mueller, he was feeble and barely articulate. And the kicker is, the real amazing kicker that comes from Mueller's notes, as I pointed out before, is Gonzalez didn't even know what was in the order. He's willing to barge in, take advantage of a sick man, overrule the entire Justice Department, break the law, knowingly break the law. I mean, everyone in the Justice Department, the three top legal officials, told him he was breaking the law. And to do so without even knowing what was in the damn order. It was too secret even for Fredo to know. This is a man who will literally take his loyalty off a cliff. If the president told him to machine gun a bunch of people at the White House, I'm sure Fredo would say, yes, sir, boss, and take out the machine gun. That was the kind of guy he was. And that's why this isn't about Gonzalez at all. It's about George Bush and the people behind him, like Dick Cheney. George Bush said on August 9th, what is that, 3 weeks ago? Not even 3 weeks ago. George Bush said on August 9th, it's a direct quote, when asked about Gonzalez, quote, why would I hold somebody accountable who has done nothing wrong? And what did he say when Gonzalez finally resigned? A resignation, by the way, that at least according to the White House, was not demanded by Bush. According to the White House, it was Gonzalez's decision to leave. George Bush say? He said, this is again a direct quote, after months of unfair treatment that has created a harmful distraction at the Justice Department, Judge Gonzalez decided to resign his position, and I accept his decision. It's sad, Bush said, that we live in a time when a talented and honorable man like Alberto Gonzalez is impeded from doing important work because his good name was dragged through the mud for political reasons. Wow. Bush said he reluctantly accepted the resignation. Months of unfair treatment. Gonzalez hasn't done anything wrong. It's just a harmful distraction. That is the new Republican speak for breaking the law, committing major felonies. In fact, it's exactly the same language Mitt Romney used in firing Larry Craig from his Idaho campaign. Oh, the fact that he was propositioning a man for sex in the restroom, that's a harmful distraction. I wonder if he was propositioning a woman in, I don't know, I guess the restroom's kind of would be the wrong place, but say a strange woman. Would it even be news? Anyway, it's a harmful distraction. which is their word for you've committed major felonies. But the important thing is Bush thinks it was unfair. How dare Congress try to find out how many people have been tortured? How dare Congress look into secret prisons? How dare Congress try to find out if reputable prosecutors were fired because they refused to try to stop blacks from voting? How dare Congress insist that the chief law enforcement officer of the United States honestly tell the truth under oath to them? That is dragging his name through the mud. Accountability is mud. Demanding that you not go to Attorney General John Ashcroft, a feeble, sick man, and take advantage of him in order to spy on hundreds of millions of Americans in illegal fashion, it's mud. And after all, Bush hasn't denied that he ordered him to do that mud. Unfair treatment. This is not about Gonzalez. Though I have to admit, there is some funny stuff. I mean, this is a man, Gonzalez, who just sort of lies at will. Apparently, he told Bush that he was going to resign on Friday. Bush accepted the resignation. New York Times reporters had heard the rumors. They called on Saturday, and Gonzalez told his spokesman to deny the rumors. So, as recently as 2 days ago, he was directly lying. And in his written statement, which according to Dana Milbank of the Washington Post, he consulted 26 times to read his 1 minute and 41 second written statement, he didn't say why he quit. He didn't say he did anything wrong. He didn't answer any questions as to why he was leaving. But he did issue a very short resignation letter with a grammatical error in the second sentence. Oh, Fredo, Fredo, Fredo. You know, if he didn't do such evil, it really would be laughable. It really would. There's so many details. And I most of them. I mean, I really don't have to repeat most of them. You know about the torture. You know about the fact that Colin Powell was angry at him, that Richard Myers, Joint Chiefs of Staff, all the people who actually have a soul in the White House said, you just can't do this. But he would take the legal opinions drafted by the CIA, drafted by Cheney's people, and just accept them, just sign on. Everyone that attended meetings with Gonzalez said that he never said a word, loyal person that he was. And that's the main thing I want to get across. If there's one thing I want to get across this hour, it's that for all the talk about Gonzalez, and listen, I recommended impeachment, for all the fact that Republicans are hyping on Gonzalez, everything he did, he was told to do. He was not an actor. He was someone who put into place things that other people told him to do. So let's just go through them real quick. We have the repudiation of the Geneva Conventions. Okay, that, by the way, was later repudiated by the Supreme Court, calling them obsolete, the thing that so angered Colin Powell. There is the allowing torture that would be cruel, unusual, or inhumane, and to introduce confessions from such things that later led to Abu Ghraib. Also, things like simulated drowning directly come from Gonzalez's legal opinion, written by the CIA for him to sign on. Under the new definition, only physically punishing acts of an extreme nature were prosecutable. Generally, those using torture without the intent to commit harm, or with express presidential authority, even if there was an intent to commit harm, were immune from prosecution. Extraordinary rendition, sending people to other places to be tortured. We have, of course, the secret prisons in Europe and all over the globe. The idea that international treaties are subject to situational adherence. The idea that, basically, we don't have to follow the language of the actual treaties. And then, of course, the infamous John Ashcroft. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Quad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Stand by your man.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs named their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to.
Stand by your man.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's the Week in Review. All topics are valid, but, well, I wanted to give the last word on Alberto Gonzalez, a resignation that should have taken place 4 months ago. I also recommended impeachment. Many in the Senate Judiciary Committee and in the Justice Department itself that he ran are talking about getting a special prosecutor to look into complaints of perjury. Because so often he said things to Congress that are untrue, that are absolutely false. And it's amazing because remember the Republicans wanted to get rid of Bill Clinton for lying about sex. Let's look at some of Attorney General Gonzalez's lies. One of the most important was February 6, 2006, when he said, quote, there has not been any serious disagreement about the program that the president has confirmed, unquote. he was talking about the war on his wiretapping program, and we know, of course, about the dramatic showdown in March 2004, not just at the feet of John Ashcroft's hospital bed, but when practically the entire government was threatening to resign, everyone at the Justice Department and the FBI, if the president was determined to break the law. Not any serious disagreement. And then later on, Gonzalez had the wonderful fun time of saying weasel words. Well, I didn't mean the warrantless wiretapping part of it. There was no disagreement about that. The disagreement was about the fact that they were data mining everyone's computers and looking and seeing and cataloging your emails and where you go on the web. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Oh, that's okay then. There was no serious disagreement about the program the president confirmed. I meant this one, not the other one. Great. I guess it all depends on what the definition of is. Then, of course, there was a time he said there was no verified civil liberties abuses in the 4 years of the Patriots Act existence. He said that December 2005. We know that was a lie when he said it. Then there's the time when he said that Ashcroft was just fine in the hospital bed. He was perfectly lucid and everything. Robert Mueller's notes said he...
We'll be back with Radio Inside Scoop with Mark Levine in just a moment. And until then, enjoy these messages brought to you by the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's the Week in Review. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Call and discuss anything you want. I just wanted to put a tombstone at the foot of Alberto Gonzalez's legal career and remind us that he, like Karl Rove, like Harriet Myers and all the rest of them, that, well, I guess they won't say like Karl Rove. Let's say like Harriet Myers, that he was merely serving an administration that told him to do evil, and he did the evil without questioning. This is the kind of guy, remember, who, when he was in Texas and they told Bush said he wanted to kill someone, he signed the death warrants. When he was on the Texas Supreme Court, his colleagues would find that he didn't really know the law. So he'd just sort of sign on to what other people were signing on to. This is the guy who never told the president no. Karl Rove is different. Karl Rove, I do believe, was calling the shots. I don't think Alberto Gonzalez was. And yet, he's a symbol of all that's wrong with this administration. Now, I realize that people argue that liberals fight with each other too much, that we in the Democratic Party disagree too much. Will Rogers once famously said, "I don't belong to any organized party. I'm a Democrat." And we do disagree with each other a lot. But part of that is because we all have a very firm sense of right and wrong. And I know if I were Attorney General of the United States and the president told me to do something that I felt was illegal or immoral, I would tell the president, no, I can't. I'd love to, Mr. President, and I thank you for hiring me, but I'm the chief law enforcement officer of the United States, and this is the Constitution. And you got to give John Ashcroft credit. Ashcroft, who allowed all kinds of awful things to happen, at least recognized that at some point, what Bush wanted, what Cheney wanted, what Rove wanted was so egregious that he had to stand up for the rule of law. And he did. And Alberto Gonzalez was the kind that didn't. 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Talk about anything you want. I do want to mention, though, this article in Newsweek, and I want to give everyone a chance to go read it. It's a fascinating article. It just came out. It's literally a September 2007 issue, okay? So it's how they date those magazines. I mean, it's just come out. And there's a link to it on my website at radioinsidescoop.com. It really is an amazing article because what it shows is how much the war in Iraq has harmed us in fighting back the perpetrators of September 11th. Now, as September 11th has happened, you have those on the right saying we need the Republican Party for safety. The president mentions September 11th every chance he can, so does Giuliani. He uses it to justify everything from putting Americans in prison without trial to torture to the war in Iraq. And yet the perpetrators of September 11th, the very perpetrators, are not captured because of the war in Iraq. And then what do people on the far left do? What do they do? Instead of pointing out, as I'm doing, to the American people that you are not safer. In fact, you're less safe under George Bush because he's not going after the real terrorists. He's going after, oil in Iraq. Some on the far left deny there are any terrorists at all, deny that Osama bin Laden's a threat, argue that 9/11 was some crazy conspiracy. Well, they miss the point, too. And they're not convincing anyone, and I think, frankly, they've been their front for the CIA, as I did a show on, which I'm going to replay during the break. The real danger is that we are not fighting true, real terrorists that do want to kill, that have killed Americans because of our stupid war in Iraq. Let me read to you from the Newsweek article. This is a direct quote. It describes what happened to Osama bin Laden right after September 11th when he was caught in Tora Bora. Here's the quote. The Taliban fled for the hills. Bin Laden, it seemed, would be cornered. Indeed, on December 15th, CIA operatives listened on a captured jihadist radio, and they could hear bin Laden himself say, quote, "Forgive me," to his followers, pinned down in their mountain caves near Tora Bora. Now, I can't read the whole article to you. I really want to recommend that you read it to yourself. But it talks about a CIA agent with the last name of Burnson, who described how with 800 men they could surround Tora Bora and capture Osama bin Laden. The military told him no. They said that would be harmful to our ally in Afghanistan. So Bertson went to Crumpton, his boss at the CIA. This is a direct quote again. And Crumpton has described in Newsweek his frantic efforts to appeal to higher authority. Crumpton called CENTCOM's commander, General Tommy Franks. It would take weeks to mobilize a force, Franks responded, and the harsh, snowy terrain was too difficult, and the odds of getting bin Laden not worth the risk. Frustrated, Crumpton went to the White House, and he rolled out maps of the Pakistani-Afghan border on a small conference table, directly to Bush and Cheney. President Bush wanted to know if the Pakistanis could sweep up al-Qaeda on the other side. No, sir, Crumpton responded. Vice President Dick Cheney did not say a word, Crumpton recalled. The meeting was inconclusive. Franks, who declined to comment, has written in his memoirs that he decided, along with Rumsfeld, not to send the troops. Cheney said nothing. Bush said, can the Pakistanis do it? 800 men and women. 800 service men and women. 800 members of the military. Instead, we sent 160,000. 160,000. Let's see. That would be some quick math. 200 times the number that they wanted to send to Afghanistan. We sent 200 times that number to Iraq to capture some oil fields. We now have 4,000 dead and 25,000 wounded. And yet the man who killed 3,000 Americans is alive and well, because they didn't want to risk 800 lives to do that. Can you imagine if a Democratic president did this? Would that not be headlines in every single newspaper across the country? Bill Clinton refused to sacrifice the 800 lives for the chance to capture the world's most wanted terrorist. The headlines would say, Clinton lets bin Laden live. Yet this is the president that said bin Laden dead or alive. This is the president that justifies everything he does, from tax cuts to secret prisons, based on September 11th. And yet when he had the opportunity to capture bin Laden, the president said no. Cheney said no. And have you heard about this story? Dollars to donuts, my guess is no. It hasn't been in the New York Times. It hasn't been in the Washington Post. You're just going to have to read this Newsweek article. Very well-sourced Newsweek article that I link to from my website at RadioInsideScoop.com. Dave from California, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey there, Mark. One, I have every confidence that if this administration wanted to capture bin Laden, he would have been long ago captured.
He's better as a boogeyman.
I think he's too long been on very friendly terms and bailing each other out and whatnot. And so,
well, as Bob Kincaid has pointed out, there's even a I believe it's a CIA... I'm trying to remember now, but I have read the source. I went to the source. I think it's an intelligence report that says that it was bin Laden himself, perhaps, either him or the Saudi royal family, who chartered the very plane that took all those bin Laden family members out. That it may have been bin Laden himself who chartered the plane. Yes, no, the Bush administration has a very cozy relationship with the bin Laden family.
Yep,
and
yep.
I just think that if this happened to a Democratic president, every American in the world would know about it. There'd be political ads out the wazoo. And here this obscure article in Newsweek just came out, and virtual silence about it. I mean, had you heard about this, Dave, apart from my broadcast?
It's enough to even make Mark Levine get suspicious at moments. But my main subject for today is that...
Hey, Dave, what do you think about Larry Craig? I don't know if you have any choice comments for that Idaho senator.
Not really. The athlete who was the dog fights, and is that what you're speaking of?
No. I'm not talking about Michael Vick. No. In fact, part of what I commiserated about when I wrote this Week in Review for today was that the media was spending all this time on Michael Vick. That's the athlete with the dog fights and not talking about Gonzalez.
I heard you altogether wrong. Yeah.
No. I'm talking about Senator Larry Craig of Idaho. Did you hear about him? He was found in a restroom propositioning a police officer for sex.
Oh, yeah.
And he pleaded guilty to it. And now he's like, oh, no, I'm not gay. The same guy who voted against marriage rights for gay people, who voted against allowing gay people to serve in the military, the very person who supported he was against hate crimes legislation. And now, instead of focusing on his propositioning in a restroom, he focuses on the fact that, oh, I'm not gay.
Well, it's not important enough to merit a minute of our time, in my opinion, because the main issue that has been concerning me of late is that corporate America is lying to our media, and our media is in turn lying to us. The reality is that we thinking Democrats want Edwards and or Kucinich 20-25-1 over Hillary, but the press is telling us we love corporate-owned Hillary and Obama, and that Kucinich has no chance and Edwards very little. That's the lie that's being told to us. But
Dave, you don't believe the polls? I mean, I don't deny that there is support out there for Kucinich and for Edwards.
20-25-1, American Democrats prefer Kucinich and or Edwards to Hillary one vote.
Where do you get that?
Well, you have one colleague with 3.5 million listeners that takes rapid-fire polls, and he says, just say who you are, where you are, and who you're going to vote for. So in a matter of 45 minutes or so, he gets several hundred votes.
Okay, but that's not scientific. I mean, what he's doing is he is polling his listening audience, listening audience. Right? I mean, that's not a scientific poll. I mean, look, I'm not knocking either Edwards or Kucinich. I'm just saying that, there's no reason to believe, at least in my mind, that these particular polls are manipulated, because there's several of them. These aren't like the votes that count. This isn't like the 06 or 04 elections, where even then I trusted the polls more than I trusted the actual election results. I don't doubt. I mean, I've talked with lots of Democrats across the country, and I would say that most of them are lined up in either the Hillary Clinton or Obama camp, with Edwards a clear third, but a strong third, and Richardson fourth, and Kucinich has his, 3-5% of strong supporters. He's definitely got a strong contingent. It's not like, Mike Gravel, who I think it's crazy. No, I mean, Kucinich is there, but I don't disbelieve the polls. I really don't, Dave.
I think
you and I may disagree on this.
Often on significant issues, our media is fed misinformation, and they in turn feed it to us. You travel in different circles than I do.
Well, that's true.
A lot of peace rallies and such, so everybody is Kucinich.
Well, I do know this. At every peace rally I've been to, it's clear that Kucinich is the most popular candidate. There's no doubt in my mind about that, and I've been to a number of them. Mm-hmm. He definitely is the leader of anyone in the peace movement, and that's good, that's fine, and by all means, go out and support Kucinich. There are many good things to say about him. I'm not knocking him, but I do think that in mainstream Democratic circles, he is not in the top three. Edwards is. I do think Edwards is third, and Richardson is fourth, in my view. Now, Kucinich may well be fifth. Kucinich may well be ahead of Biden and Dodd, and that wouldn't surprise me. But I do believe the polls, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's the piece I'll want, Kucinich. The piece
now, there was an online poll that Bob and Annie are telling me about, an ABC News online poll that showed Kucinich ahead that they wiped. And that's wrong. They shouldn't wipe through online polls. Online polls are notoriously unscientific, but once you put up a poll, you got to leave it up there. You can't wipe it. And so that, I think, is a serious question that needs to be looked into, and I think that's a fair point. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling. I appreciate
it. Thank you for being there, Mark.
I'm going to be taking a break over the next week, but there's a lot of shows you may not have heard. If you never heard Bob and my two-hour discussion on religion, or if you heard it and you missed it and you want to hear it again, that's going to be played during the week. Some other terrific shows, the one about the FBI guy who will tell us about the connection between Islamic Terrorism and White Supremacy, you may not know about. A whole bunch of good shows. I will be gone to my hometown of Nashville, Tennessee, to attend my niece's bat mitzvah, but then I will be back next week with plenty of news and lots to talk about right here on The Inside Scoop. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. South Korean officials say the Taliban has agreed to release the 19 hostages abducted 6 weeks ago in Afghanistan. The conditions of the release, the withdrawal of South Korean troops, and the discontinuation of missionary activities. After months of confrontation with the secular establishment, Turkey has elected a devout Muslim as president. The election of Abdullah Gül is seen as a victory for the Islamic-rooted government and comes a day after the military, which has thrown out four governments since 1960, issued a warning about the threat of secularism. In Afghanistan, the number of militant attacks are at their highest since the U.S.-led invasion began 5 years ago. In the past 48 hours, fighting between Taliban and NATO forces has resulted in the death of 8 soldiers, 6 of them from Western nations. 29 insurgents were also killed. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said a power vacuum is imminent in Iraq and that his country was ready to fill it. Ahmadinejad made the statements at a press conference where he also said, quote, the political power of the occupiers is collapsing rapidly, adding Iran would fill the gap with help from regional friends like Saudi Arabia. Heavy gunfire between Iraqi security forces and insurgents has forced the evacuation of hundreds of thousands of worshippers at a Shia festival in Karbala. At least 25 have been killed in violence near two of Shiite Islam's holiest shrines during the celebration to mark the birth of a 9th century imam. The UN says this year's poppy harvest in Afghanistan is the largest in history. More than 90% of the heroin in the world comes from Afghanistan. 33 Sunni fighters were killed by U.S. and Iraqi troops in a pre-dawn raid aimed at reopening an irrigation canal seized by insurgents. The assault captured weapons and explosives and reopened the spillway after militants shoveled dirt into the canal, blocking